is being recorded.
Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of glories of Madhvacharya. Before handing off the call to Prabhuji, I would like to ask Induleka Karuna Mataji to give a brief introduction about Prabhuji. Mataji, please take over the call.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Thank you so much for joining us. This is a very brief introduction on His Grace Keshavanand Prabhu. Dr. Keshavananda Prabhuji was a professional doctor.
Mataji, please give darshan.
Mataji, next time, is that okay?
You're reading.
Yes, Mataji. Okay, Dr. Keshav Ananda was a professional doctor for many years and he is now a practicing monk. Since the last 20 years, he has conducted extensive research and authored books in the field of science and spirituality. He feels the rift between science and spirituality must disappear to bring peace in the world. If spirituality is a superstition and a myth, science is materialistic and atheistic. A new approach to life is needed today that can bring the best of both. Science must re-embrace spirituality and be humble to admit its defects, flaws, and ignorance. And spirituality must base itself on sound scientific and rational ideas. Dr. His Grace Keshavanand Prabhuji has studied both Vedic and traditional Western philosophy. Besides learning Sanskrit, he also learned Bengali, Gujarati, Marathi, and Kannada to know about other traditions. His persistent endeavor in the field of science and spirituality has enabled him to come up with seminars on diverse topics like science and the Vedas, mind and machines, science fails to explain life, consciousness, and beyond, etc., that he has presented in various colleges in India, Europe, and America. Under the guidance of his spiritual master, His Holiness Bhaktivika Swami Maharaj, he has also started a Gurukul, a traditional system of Vedic education in Punjab, India, where children learn the ancient Vedic culture and values. Besides, he has started a farm community. The community has a traditional way of living with mud huts and thatched roofs with cows, and of course, farming. The communities will set a model for the world to show how to live a life based on the principles of simple living, high thinking. Hare Krishna. Please take over, Nanda Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, I don't think Prabhuji has joined yet, right? Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association to us this morning. Please take over the call, Prabhuji.
Okay. I have to speak on glories of Madhvacharya, is it?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Let me just pay obeisances and then I'll begin. ओम ज्ञानाते मरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शरणाते चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं पदामयं ददाति नमः विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschadishtar. Okay, so I'm going to speak about glories of Madhvacharya, and that in itself is a glorious task because to remember Madhvacharya, to speak about Madhvacharya, to think about him, that in itself is, utmost purifying because remembering Lord and His devotees are equally purifying. Just like we say Hare Krishna mantra, that's purifying. Similarly, if you say Madhvacharya ki jai, that's equally purifying. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Adi Leela, he mentions so many Gaudiya Vaishnava devotees, so one after one. And so many branches he mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's branches, and Nityanand Prabhu Shakha, Advait Prabhu Shakha, then Sri Khandvasi, Sri Katvavasi. He mentions names after names after names, and then in the end he tells, why I'm mentioning so many names? Because simply mentioning their names and remembering them is purifying. Even Raghunath Das Goswami, he used to pay 1,000 obeisances daily to different Vaishnavas. Now, why he's, I mean to say, then you can ask from where he's finding 1,000 Vaishnavas. Well, he used to think about a Vaishnava in his mind and paid onwards, and then think another Vaishnava in his mind and paid onwards. But I mean to say, for that, you should know 1,000 Vaishnavas, first of all, the names of 1,000 Vaishnavas. But he knew, so he was doing that in his mind. So that's the point. That's why we are discussing about glories of Madhvacharya. Discussing about Madhvacharya is, at least according to me, it's more purifying than reading Bhagavatam, what I find. Because why? Because Bhagavatam, to understand and to enter Bhagavatam is very difficult, because it's a Paramaham Shastra. Nigama Kalpataru, Galitam Phalam, what's that? No. Paramaham Shastra, they are Bhagavatam. In the first chapter, first canto, they say, it's Paramahamsyam Shastra. It is for Paramahamsas, means Paramahamsa means even beyond sannyas, even those people are qualified to read Bhagavatam. And by Mahaprabhu's mercy, we can read, but we cannot enter the mysteries and the sweetness of Bhagavatam immediately, because we are on that conditioned platform. But when we talk about devotees, that's easy to understand. Their actions, their teachings, it's easy and it is more beneficial. So, who is Madhvacharya? Let's talk about him. Madhvacharya, he's one of the acharyas of our sampradaya. He's our sampradaya acharya. And our Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya acharya. There are 4 sampradayas in Kali Yuga, with them which are mentioned in Padma Puran. And these sampradayas which are mentioned in Padma Puran, they are, it is said, Sri Brahmarut Kumar Vaishnava Shiti Pavana Kalao Smin Yoge. They say in this Kali Yuga there are 4 Vaishnava sampradayas, Sri, Rudra, Kumar and Brahm. And in these 4 sampradayas there are 4 acharyas, that's also mentioned. The name is mentioned, this verse comes in Padma Puran, and the names are Shri, it's Ramanuja, Kumar, it's Nimbarkacharya, Rudra is Vallabhacharya or Vishnu Swami, and Brahm Sampradaya, it is Madhvacharya. And in the same Sampradaya, we are coming. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwar Puri. He took initiation from Madhvan Puri. Madhvan Puri is supposed to be disciple of Lakshmipati Tirth, who is belonging to Madhva Sampradaya. Now, I don't want to go into this controversy that some people say that, well, our Gaudiya Sampradaya, Pancham Sampradaya, doesn't come in the 4 Sampradayas, but that's absolutely ridiculous, because Kavi Karan Pundas, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Baldev Vidyabhushan, all of them has clearly accepted and defined and even, let's say, authorized the fact that we belong to Brahma Madhav Sampradaya. Brahma Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya, that's how it goes. But you might say, well, Madhva Sampradaya's philosophy is different. His philosophy is Doit Siddhant. Our philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bhed Siddhanta. So what should we do? Our philosophy is different, our concept is different, little bit different, their concept is different. Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, yeah, there is a difference in philosophy, that's okay. But that doesn't mean that we are different sampradaya. What that means, all that means is, that Mahaprabhu took the Siddhanta of Madvaita, Dvaita, and actually he actually upgraded that Siddhanta into a Chintya Bheda Ved. So our Siddhanta Chintya Bheda Ved, the foundation of that is Madhva Siddhanta, Dvaita Siddhanta, but it is upgraded. And that's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur sees how we belong to Brahm Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya. That is the harmonization in that we belong to Brahm Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya. Okay, so having said that, let me talk about Madhvacharya. This was just a side note. Who is Madhvacharya? Madhvacharya, he is, if you go to Udupi, they will actually tell you a verse about Madhvacharya, and they will say, Prathmo Hanumantaha, Dvitiyo Bhima, Tritiyo Ananda Tirth. In Rig Veda, there is a section, Balitha Sukta. Balitha Sukta. In Rig Veda, there are many suktas. Suktas means many hymns or prayers or chants. And for example, Rig Veda starts with Agni Sukta, a hymn to Agni, a praise to Agni. And there is Varun Sukta, Indra Sukta. So there are many suktas. One of the suktas is Balitha Sukta. And in that sukta, prediction about Madhvacharya is given. And it is said, Madhvacharya, the first incarnation of Madhvacharya is Hanuman. The second is Bhima, and third is Madhvacharya or Ananda Tirth. One of the names of Madhvacharya is Ananda Tirth. And who is he? He is Vayu Dev. Madhvacharya is, originally his Swarupa is Vayu, or you can say Mukhya Pran. His Swarupa is Mukhya Pran. Mukhya Pran means all the living entities, the body is working due to pranas. It's breathing. Your breathing stops, you die. So pranas, one of the functions of prana is breathing. Another function of pranas is actually to sustain life force in our body. So Madhvacharya is incarnation of that. Mukhya Pran, he's Mukhya Pran. quite powerful personality and a pure devotee of Krishna. So that Mukhya Pran incarnated in Ramayana as Hanuman, he incarnated in Mahabharata as Bhima, and he incarnated recently 800 years back as Madhvacharya, who actually propagated pure devotion on this planet. Madhvacharya, his mission of life, his mission was to actually defeat and destroy Mayavad. That was his vision. And he was sent by Lord Narayana into this world to destroy Mayavad. Because Shankara propagated Mayavad or Advaita Siddhanta, which said, we are God. In very broad sense, we are God. Everybody is God. Everything is God. If everything is God, then what is this heart, mud, earth, fire? What is this? This is illusion. We think that there is mud, water, fire, space. There are so many things. But Shankara says, no, everything is God. You see them like that. This is illusion. So this is Madhvacharya. So Ramanacharya came and he actually defeated Mayavad. But he didn't really defeat it to the core. So Madhva came and Lord Narayana, he sent Madhva to actually complete the job of Ramanuja. And Madhva, his whole life was dedicated to destroy Mayavad. If we see the works of Madhvacharya, if we see the works of Madhvacharya, we will find that he was, let's say, he was an enemy of Mayavad. Like if you see commentaries on Madhvacharya, you will find that he takes each and every line of Shankaracharya and just flips it. That's all. So in fact, you can write a commentary of Madhvacharya without seeing the commentary of Madhvacharya by your own. You just take Shankaracharya's commentary. Whatever he says, just make it opposite to whatever he says. Just write whatever Shankara says, just write opposite to that, and that will be Madhvacharya's commentary, almost. He does like that. So what happens? Madhvacharya's commentary is, it's like that. So the point I was telling is that he was a born enemy of Mayavad. All his works, all his commentaries are largely based on defeating Mayavad. That's all. That's what he's doing. And precisely that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy with Madhvacharya. And that's why Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Madhvacharya Sampradaya as his own Sampradaya. Because Mayavad is a philosophy which can destroy devotion. Mayavad bhashe sunule hoy sarvanash. And Madhvacharya did sarvanash of Mayavad, and Mahaprabhu was very happy. And in fact, in Kali Yuga, this is very important, because everybody is Mayavadi. Everyone is Mayavadi. So if everyone is Mayavadi, then you need a strong basis. You need a strong understanding of how Mayavad is wrong. Otherwise, it's very difficult to even do devotion. In fact, Madhvacharya, he says that even if you don't understand Mayavad and if you don't defeat it, even in devotional, even in Vaishnavism, we have many Mayavadi concepts. We are not Mayavadi, but we have many Mayavadi concepts because of which we are not able to do devotion nicely and we fall into illusion. So that's why Mahaprabhu accepted Sampradaya of Madhvacharya. He entered that Sampradaya. So Madhvacharya, he had many names, by the way. His mission was to defeat Mayavad. Actually, Madhvacharya wanted to kill all the people of this Kali, all the demons. He said, well, I am Mukhya Prana, I can do that. I am Hanuman, I can kill all the useless demons who are born in this world. But Lord Narayan said, no, don't kill them. That's not the point. Kill the wrong philosophy. That's what you should be doing. So he did that. Madhvacharya had many names, by the way. He was born in a village of Pachaka Kshetra. That's a village near Udupi in Karnataka, Pachaka Kshetra. You can still go there. And in fact, I lived in Udupi for 6 years because I did my medical from Manipal College, and I used to daily go to Udupi temple, daily, I never missed, and daily had darshan of Udupi Krishna, daily had nice prasadam, they serve nice prasadam, they're free for everybody. So you go and take that darshan of Krishna, first step, next step, you go to the prasadam hall, take samar and chawal and mattha and then paisam. And then next step, you come out and then go to Ananteshwar temple, Chandramouli temple, which are near Udupi temple. And the next step is you go out and buy laddu from there, prasadam laddu, and eat that. The next step is you go and so there's a cane sugar shop there, famous. You drink some 2-3 cane sugar glasses. And the next step is you go back home. That's what I was doing 6 years. So I was fortunate to be there for 6 years. So I know about Madhva Sampradaya a lot. I mean to say, most devotees, they know Madhva Sampradaya from outside, but I know Madhva Sampradaya from inside. I've associated with their Swamijis and Vidyashtamath a lot, and seen inside how their worship goes. And we were also lucky because Puthi Kamat Swami, one of the Ashtamath there, Puthi Kamat Swami, they used to like us, ISKCON devotees, and Pejavaramat Swami also. And they used to actually take us to the section where Brahmanas were there eating and doing puja. So we were there. So Madhvacharya, he had many names, by the way. One of the names which is very famous in Udupi is Anandatirtha. This name, Anandatirtha, it is more famous than Madhvacharya. Although we speak of Madhvacharya and Madhvacharya, but if you go in Udupi locally, they will say Anandya Tirthi. In fact, many of the songs which Madhvacharya writes, in the end, he mentions himself as Anandya Tirthi, not a Madhvacharya. For example, that so in that Dwadash Stotra, Madhvacharya says, Anandya Tirtha Parananda Varda. He says, Udupi Krishna is giving in a lot of bliss. He gives bliss to Anandya Tirtha, and Anandya Tirtha is giving bliss to Udupi Krishna. He speaks about himself like that. So Anandya Tirtha was a very famous name which is still there, and people address Madhvacharya like that. Another name of Madhvacharya, which was actually titled by his own guru, Madhvacharya's guru Madhvacharya's guru was actually Achyuta Preksh. He was guru of Madhvacharya. He gave him title. He was so impressed by Madhvacharya's devotion that Madhvacharya's guru was, it is said, he was Mayavadi. There are some two opinions in that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that he was not Mayavadi. He was a Vaishnav from inside, but from outside he was acting as a Mayavadi. Why? Because at that time Mayavadis were very, very strong, and they were killing Vaishnavas, and they were actually not allowing any Vaishnavas to continue their devotion. So most of the Vaishnavas, they were taking Mayavad sannyas, but they were practicing Vaishnavism. And that's how we explain the sannyas of Madhven Puri. That's Mayavad sannyas. Keshav Bharti, that's Mayavad sannyas. Madhven Puri, you can say Mayavad sannyas, or you can also say Madhven Puri can also be a sannyasi of Madhva Sampradaya. Because in Madhva Sampradaya, sannyas title is mostly Tirtha. If you see Bhagavad Gita introduction, Parampara, you will find all Tirtha. So after Madhvacharya Anand Tirtha, his title is Tirtha. And then comes Madhav Tirtha, Narari Tirtha, Akshobhya Tirtha, Jaya Tirtha, Rajendra Tirtha, you see Lakshmipati Tirtha, all these Tirtha, their title is Tirtha. They always, Madhvacharya chose the sannyas title as Tirtha. In Shankara Sampradaya, there are 10 titles for sannyas, not just Tirtha. There are 10 titles, and the title is Puri. But even in Madhva Sampradaya, there is a title Puri. So if you go to Vyasaraya Math, it is said that they gave titles of Puri in Madhva Sampradaya. In when they were giving sannyas in North India. So there is a controversy, Madhven Puri is belonging to Mayavad Sampradaya or Madhva Sampradaya. But even if we consider Keshav Bharti is obviously Mayavadi Sampradaya. Bharti title is Mayavadi. So why these people were taking Mayavad Sannyas? Even Chaitanya Prabhu took Mayavad Sannyas. Why not Vaishnav Sannyas? Because at that time, Mayavadis were very strong, and they hated Vaishnavas, and they were killing them. In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta writes that Achyuta Preksh, who was guru of Madhvacharya, his guru, Achyuta Preksh guru, he was a Vaishnava, and Shankaracharya's disciples, they came to his mat. They actually broke his danda. They tore his clothes. They wiped his tilak, and they forced him to take Mayavad Sannyas. He took Mayavad Sannyas, but in his heart, he was Vaishnava. So similarly, Achyut Preksha, he was Mayavadi, but in his heart, he was Vaishnava. This is opinion of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But if you go to Madhva Sampradaya, they have a different story. They don't accept Achyut Preksha was externally Mayavadi, internally Vaishnava. They can't accept this proposal, because for them, if anybody is a Vaishnava, in fact, especially Dvaita Siddhant, he can never ever take to Mayavad Sannyas. He will die, he will do suicide, but he will never put Tripundra and all this kind of stuff. He'll prefer death. So they said, well, Achyuta Preksha was a Mayavadi, and Madhvacharya converted into Dvaita Siddhant. He converted into Vaishnavas. And that was the power of Madhvacharya, disciple converting guru into Vaishnavism. Brahmanacharya converted his guru, Yadav Prakash, into Vaishnavism. These were great people. So his guru was so happy. He said, you saved me from Mayavad, this useless Siddhanta. So I gave you the title Anuman Tirtha. This was another name of Madhvacharya, Anuman Tirtha. One is Anand Tirtha, another is Anuman Tirtha. His logic was so strong that he could cut to pieces the entire philosophy of Mayavad, and not just defeat Mayavad by complex logics, but very simple logic and common sense. That's why he gave him the name Anuman Tirtha. So Madhvacharya had the name Ananda Tirtha, Anuman Tirtha. He also had name, this is very, another famous name of Madhvacharya is Purna Pragya. This name Madhvacharya he got when his guru handed over the mutt, the Udupi mutt. No, actually not the Udupi mutt, but actually the Ananteshwar mutt. Initially in Udupi, initially in Udupi, there were two temples before Madhvacharya came. So Achyuta Preksh, he had his own mutt in Udupi, and that was Ananteshwar temple. So in that temple, there is a deity of Pashuramji. it is still there. That's the oldest temple. And besides that Ananteshwar temple, there is another temple, Chandramouli temple, where there is a deity of Lord Shiva. This was there in Udupi. So when Madhvacharya was born in a village, Pajaka Shetra, near Udupi, I think around 15-20 kilometers far away, at the age of 7, he came to this temple, Ananteshwar temple, and he took sannyas from Achyuta Preksh. Because there were just two temples. So he took sannyas, Madhvacharya took sannyas at the age of 7 or 8. Many sannyasis of Madhva Sampradaya, they are chosen at the age of 7 and 8 years. At Prabhupada's time, he is still sannyasis, they are so strong. Since the age of 7, 8 years, they are sannyasis, and now these sannyasis are like 70, 80 years. So 70 years of sannyas, you can imagine. And at Prabhupada's time, by the way, just a side note, Prabhupada's time, there were a few devotees who actually went to Udupi, and they said, okay, we want to. So they read Prabhupada books. So they read some philosophy. So they went to sannyasi in Madhva Sampradaya, and they said, we want to discuss philosophy with you. So that sannyasi said, okay, come. And he gave them laddu, and he says, okay, goodbye. He didn't discuss this. I mean to say, Prabhupada's disciple at that time, I mean, these hippies, they were devotees for 4-5 years, read some philosophy, and they're going to sannyasi who is taking sannyas at the age of 7-8 years, and now he's 70 years, and they want to discuss philosophy with them. This was like absurd. Anyway, that was a side note. So Madhvacharya at the age of 7, he left his parents. his father's name was Madhyaghe, and his mother's name was, I forgot his mother's name. Anyway, whatever. So they were great devotees actually. And they did penance for 12 years. They were not having a child, but they did penance for 12 years. And after that, Krishna blessed him with his child, Madhvacharya, incarnation of Mukhya Pran. At the age of 7 years, Madhvacharya left. Actually, at the age of 1 year, 1.5 years, Madhvacharya left his home. 1.5 years, you can imagine. The baby just started walking and he left his home. He said, this material world is useless. I must serve Krishna. 1.5 years, you can imagine. You don't even remember what you were doing at 1.5 years, just passing stool and urine and sucking your thumb, that's all. Madhvacharya, at 1.5 years, he said, this material world is useless and the purpose of life is to serve Narayan and Krishna. So I must leave my home to perfect my life. This material world is bondage. His parents and father, mother, they are attachments. So he just, 1.5 years, he just left his home and he went to Ananteshwar temple alone. He was a baby and he was wearing a diaper and nothing. And he was going and people were watching, my God, where this baby is going, 1.5 years. And then they said, some females came, they said, oh, my dear baby, you need some milk, where is your papa and mama? So he said, my father is Narayan. And he's everywhere. So he said, you should not go in forest. There's so many animals, you should be afraid. So he said, anybody who has not taken a shelter of Narayan, they should be afraid. But I have taken a shelter of Narayan, so I'm fearless. There's that, who is this? So 1.5 years he went to Ananteshwar temple and he said to Achyut Preksh in Ananteshwar temple, I want sannyas. Achyut Preksh said, what? He said, you need a milk bottle. Sannyas, 1.5 years. He said, you Baba, go back. So his parents came running to Ananteshwar temple. They said, where is a boy? And they found Varanasi. He said, come on, you know, you come back. They named the boy as Vasudev. So Madhvacharya's initial name was Vasudev. This was another name of Madhvacharya, which was given by his parents, Vasudev. And his parents used to call him Vasu. So people shortened the names, Vasu. They used to call him Vasu. So, but then at the age of 7 years, he took sannyas. He just left. And his mother was telling, as usual, I'll do suicide if you take sannyas, Vasu. I can't live without you. So Madhvacharya says, okay, do sannyas. Do suicide. Vasu said, do suicide, no problem. But you should not come in between me and Krishna. And you should not hinder the mission of Krishna. Krishna has a mission, I have to fulfill that. Don't become an obstacle in the mission of Krishna, otherwise you'll go to hell. Don't like that. 7 years. So his mother said, oh, come on, you know, what can we do? This boy is different. So he just left. He went to Achyut Preksha's Math Ananteshwar temple and he took sannyas. There he stayed for many years and he studied. He changed his guru to Vaishnavism. He developed a new philosophy of Dvaita when he was in his mat. He defeated so many Buddhists, Nyayists, so many Tarkics. And his guru was so happy. He said, now you should go all around India and promote and propagate your philosophy of Dvaita and defeat Mayavad. So I hand over this mat to you. You should become in charge. And your name would be Purna Pragya. So that was another name of Madhvacharya, Purna Pragya. These are some famous names of Madhvacharya. One of the names, of course, after Madhvacharya, after he got so many disciples, he was given this title Madhvacharya, Acharya. He became Acharya because he established the math, he propagated the philosophy. He actually wrote commentaries on Prasthantray to actually gave foundation to his Dvaita Sampradaya, because any Sampradaya who has to call himself bona fide, they have to write commentaries on Prasthantray. Prasthantray means you have to write commentaries on three things. One is Vedanta Sutra, another is Gita, and another is Upanishads. You have to write commentaries on this. And so then other people accept, okay, so now you are Acharya. If you want to be called as Acharya, you have to write commentaries on these three. At that time, it was like that. So he wrote commentaries. So then they started calling him Acharya and they started calling him Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya means Madhu. Madhu means, there are two meanings of Madhvacharya. Madhva comes from the word Madhu plus So Madhu plus Va. So Madhu means sweet. Sweet. So who actually extracted the sweetness from the Vedas, he's Madhvacharya. That's why I used to call him Madhvacharya. There's another meaning of Madhvacharya. Madhu, Va means strength. So who gives strength? Madhu means devotion. Who gives strength? Madhu is sweet. Sweet is devotion. Devotion is sweet. Who gives strength to devotion and to devotees? He is Madhvacharya. So this is one of the names of him. These are some famous names of Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya, Purna Pragya, Ananda Tirth, Anumana Tirth. If you go to Udupi, they know all these names. And there are some rare names of Madhvacharya, titles given to him. For example, Dashapramiti is one title given to him because he summarized entire Vaishnava philosophy in 10 points. In 10 points, he summarized entire Vaishnava philosophy. And Baldev Devdasan took the same 10 points and he formed, that became the basis of a Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya in the form of Dashamul Tattva. same. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes a whole book on this 10 point Dashamurtat, and he says this is a philosophy of Mahaprabhu. So we are not Pancham Sampradaya. We belong to Madhva Sampradaya because our bases are Dasha Pramiti. Our bases are 10 points, 10 golden points of Madhva Sampradaya. And on the basis of that, we have developed our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Of course, we have brought Ras Tattva into Madhva Sampradaya. And that's why our Sampradaya is an updated version of Madhva Sampradaya. That's what we can say. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So these are the many names of Madhvacharya. And then he preached all over the world and all over India. He traveled all over India with his disciples. His four main disciples were Padmanabh Tirth, Narari Tirth, Madhav Tirth, and Akshobhya Tirth. And all these four disciples, he sent them outside Udupi to preach, in various state of Karnataka and borders of Karnataka and South India. And these four disciples, they established mutt outside Karnataka. Outside Udupi. But within Udupi, he made many other disciples. And he actually, in Udupi, he established, one of his main contribution was establishing Udupi Krishna Temple. I told you, in Udupi, there was just two temples, Ananteshwar and Chandramali. But then later, Madhvacharya went with his disciples to Malpe Beach. There's a beach near Udupi, Malpe. He went, and so there's a famous Balram temple there. Balram temple are very rare in this world. There's a Balram temple. So there he went, and there was a ship which was drowning. Madhvacharya is Vayudev, so there was a storm. With this shawl, he waved his shawl like that, and the whole storm subsided. And he actually, the ship came to the beach safely. And the captain, he said, oh, actually, we want something. So we are bringing a big chandan block from Dwarka. And I see you people use a lot of chandan to actually, you put a paste on Krishna's deity, on Vishnu's deity. You put chandan tilak, so you can take this. So he said, okay. So they took chandan tilak. And within that big block of chandan tilak, there was a deity. When they broke, there was a deity of Krishna, Udupi Krishna. Beautiful Bal Krishna deities. This is the same deity, it is said, which Rukmani ji made, or which Rukmani ji manifested in Dwarka by praying to Vishwakarma in Dwarka, because she said to Krishna that I couldn't see your childhood pastimes, so I need to pray and to worship your child form. So Krishna told Vishwakarma to make a deity. He made a deity of Bal Krishna. So if you see Udupi Krishna, he's with a stick and smiling, very nice smile, and like a boy, a kid, small boy. And that deity from Rukmani ji worshipped in Dwarka, and that deity somehow, it came from Dwarka to Udupi, and that's the same deity. So Madhvacharya brought that deity. So people wanted to lift that deity, and even 10 people could not lift. But Madhvacharya just lifted with one hand. And he just put the deity on one hand, and he started walking to Udupi temple, to Udupi, Ananteshwar temple. And on the way, he actually sang 12 songs spontaneously, which were called as Dwadash Stotra, in the praise of Krishna. And then he came to Udupi and he installed Krishna there. So in Udupi, there's a third temple, Udupi Krishna temple, which is now one of the famous temple, even more famous than Ananteshwar and Chandramali. So there he established a temple, and then he established 8 mathas, 8 temples around Udupi Krishna temple, a mat, to actually manage Krishna's service. So he established 8 mat, which are called as Ashtamat, and he gave 8 disciples of his, the in charge of these 8 mathas, and then they started worshipping Udupi Krishna. So each mutt, this is very nice. Thank you. Very nice. Jai Udupi Krishna ki jai. Yeah, this is Udupi Krishna. So actually Udupi Krishna, he wears so many dresses he wears. This is one of the dress. They dress him in, so like they have dressed him like Narayan or Vishnu. We have Aranjesh. They dress him like sometimes like Devi also, they dress him sometimes with cow, very nice dresses he he has sometimes like a king they dress. So yeah, there are many dresses. Yeah, you can show them images of Udupi Krishna. Very beautiful. He has a rod and he's churning butter. He churns butter there. Yeah, these are, see, so many dresses are there of his. This is one dress, blue dress. Yeah, you can show like this on the side. this is one dress. I think he's dressed as Vamandeva or something like that. I don't know. But they dress him in very, show another. I think you have to show some other. Yeah, this is very common dress, Krishna with cow and flute. So this is Vrindavan form, which is very unusual because Vrindavan form, they don't really meditate on Vrindavan form, but they dress him like that. And then we have, what other we have dress? Yeah, this is beautiful. This is like a Devi. This is like Rukmani ji, they have dressed something like that because they have Juda and this dress. So this is another thing. They dress Udupi Krishna as Devi also because they say in all goddesses, so ultimately goddesses are expansions of Krishna. So they dress him like this. And then what else is there? Yeah. This is also like a female. You see, it's complete female dress. So Varalakshmi Avatar, they dress him like Lakshmi. So why they're dressing him like this? To actually show that all the forms and all the incarnations, all the forms of God and goddesses, they are dependent on Krishna. All the forms are actually have existence only because of Krishna. That's why they're dressing like this. So can you show the form right below this picture? No. So not here, there, in this. Yeah, this one, yeah. So this is the original form of Udupi Krishna, without dress, with a churning butter rod. And this is beautiful form there, Udupi Krishna. I used to go daily and have darshan. Yeah, this is without, yeah, so you can see a rod and you can see a rope below his feet on the knees. There is a rope going. He's holding a rope. So this is a churning butter form. So Rukmani ji, she wanted to meditate on this form. Here he's churning butter. So this means his age should be like around 5-6, so between 5 to 10 years old, something like this. So she was worshipping this form 5 to 10 years old. So this is Udupi Krishna, Bala Krishna. So can you also show one? So you just search Ananteshwar temple and the place of Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya ended his pastimes in actually Ananteshwar temple. So there's a place in Ananteshwar. So in the end, so of course he established this mathas, and in the end, he was giving a lecture. He used to daily give lecture in Ananteshwar temple, not in Udupi temple. So there's a place where he used to sit, and that place is still there. So you can go and have darshan of that place. He was sitting and lecturing on Aitri Upanishad. So this is Ananteshwar temple. Do you see this photograph? It's a beautiful temple. This is Parshuram temple. So this is Parikrama mark there. Yeah, this is Ananteshwar temple. This is picture of Ananteshwar. This is Udupi. So this is Parshuram, they say. This is Parshuram ji temple there. Because whole Karnataka and Kerala is actually Parshuram Kshetra. Because what happened? So when Parshuram ji, he actually destroyed Kshatriyas for 21 times. And then he washed his Parsha. His Parsha is his axe in Kurukshetra, in the holy waters of Brahmatirtha. And then he threw his hand. Then he said, okay, it's done. I don't want to. It's all like Kshatriyas are finished, 21. So then he threw his axe from Kurukshetra and it landed in sea, in the present region of Karnataka and Kerala. and wherever his axe landed, the sea receded back. It receded back. So that's why we have Carnatic. So it receded back. So then when sea receded back, so then we had land of Carnatic and Kerala. So this whole Carnatic and Kerala desh, it is called as Pashuram Kshetra. So that's why there's Ananteshwar temple, Pashuram. Can you show that? So that is Pashuram temple. That's why there's a temple of Pashuram. It's Pashuram Kshetra, and it is also called as Naga Kshetra because that land was under sea. So there are so many snakes there. So you can show Ananteshwar temple. Just show some other pictures of Ananteshwar. Yeah, so this is how you have darshan of Ananteshwar from outside. So as soon as you enter the temple, so you can't go inside this whole thing. You have to stand. So where this picture is taken, you have to stand, and then you can have darshan like this. You see, like, you can't see much because this darkness, but anyway, still you can see something. So in Ananteshwar temple, there is a place where Madhvacharya left his body. Okay, this is the entrance of Ananteshwar temple. Below this picture, there. No. So, yeah. So this is a this is the entrance of Udupi Krishna. So below this picture, no. So not here. There on this side. Yeah. This one. This is the entrance of Ananteshwar temple. Yeah, this is the entrance. So when we go to Udupi Krishna, first we go to Ananteshwar temple and then we go to Udupi Krishna. That's the system. People don't know, but we generally do that. We go to Ananteshwar temple and then we go to Krishna the temple. That's all. Because first we take, okay. Yes, can you click? So this is Pashuram. This is like a linga there, but then there is Pashuram also. So it's quite mixed. If you will have darshan, you will be confused because you will think it's a Shivling. Or it's Pashuram. It will be a little confusing, but it is Pashuramji. Okay, so in Ananteshwar temple, there is a Madhvacharya place of sitting. I think maybe Google will show that. So in Ananteshwar temple, there is a window from where you will have darshan, where Madhvacharya used to sit. I don't know. Probably you should type Ananteshwar and Madhvacharya Pete, something like that. It will come. So he used to sit, and there he was giving lecture on Aitri Upanishad, and suddenly there were flowers from the sky. They fell. Flowers from the demigods started showering flowers, and the flowers came here, then neck, then here, and then complete. And then when disciples removed the flower, he was no longer there. He went, he disappeared, and he went to Badrika Ashram, Badrinath, not Badrika Ashram, I am in Badrika Ashram, this is. Our is Badrinath. Badrinath he went, where Mool Badrinath, where Vyasadev lives. Madhvacharya is disciple of Vyasadev. Okay, fine. So Madhvacharya is. So or you can type the place where Madhvacharya disappeared, something like this. So Madhvacharya is disciple of Vyasadev. Of course, Madhvacharya, I told you, was disciple of Achyuta Preksh, but in all sense, because Madhvacharya did a favor on Achyuta Preksh by actually changing him from Advaita to Dvaita. But his original guru is Vyasadev. He went to Badrinath and he actually met Vyasadev and he took initiation from him. So he writes there, my guru is Vyasadev. He's very frank on that. He met Vyasadev. Still Vyasadev is staying in Badrinath, but Mool Badrinath, not this Badrinath. This Badrinath is Bhoma Badrinath. And replication of original Badrinath. Original Badrinath we can't see. That's in another dimension. And Madhvacharya could access that dimension. So he went. So he's still there with his guru Vyasadev. Until the end of time, he'll be there with Vyasadev as his disciple. Madhvacharya had his brother, younger brother Govinda, who also became disciple of Madhvacharya later. And Madhvacharya told. And he's also still living. He's also eternal because Madhvacharya taught Vishnu Sahasranam to him. And according to Madhvacharya, every name of Vishnu has 1,000 meanings. So he said, anybody who knows all the 1,000 meanings of all the 1,000 names of Vishnu, he becomes eternal. So he taught this to Govinda. He's the only person who knows 1,000 meanings of all the 1,000 names. He's also still there in Badrinath with Madhvacharya. They're all there still. And they're praying for us, Kali Yuga souls, fallen souls, so that we can do devotion to Krishna and we can be saved from this pollution and contamination. And whatever. You know all these things better than, we know all these things better than them. We know contamination better than them. We are pure devotees of contamination, isn't it? So he disappeared, and then but he wrote, I told you, he wrote many books. His works, his all works are divided into four parts. One is commentaries, which he wrote on Gita, on Upanishad, but commentaries on Vedas, Rig Veda, and Vedanta Sutra and Upanishads, first category. Another category is he wrote commentary on Puranas. Like, for example, he wrote Mahabharata Atparinirnaya, Bhagavata Atparinirnaya. He also wrote commentary on Gita, which is a part of Purana, Mahabharata, Itihas. Another category of his books are his independent, his independent works. So he has written 37 works. If you go to Udupi, if you ask his works, all 37 works, they might give you one book, which is named as Sarvamool Granth. And in that one book, all 37 books are published. Now, all 37 works you can publish in one book because his style is to write small and brief and terse, very terse. Anantirtha Pratishthan Madhva.
This is it. I don't know. It's all written in Kannada.
Yeah. Fine. I don't think so. It's not like this. It's like window. It's like a window there. From window, there is a... Okay, yeah. This one. Yeah, this one. Yeah. Fine. This is a window. And if you see in this window, then you will see a seat on which Madhvacharya used to sit. And this is a place. So this is the Parikrama Marg of Ananteshwar Temple. So this devotee, he's standing on the Parikrama Marg. And when you go on Parikrama Marg, then there's a window, and you have to see inside the window like this. And then you will see a seat there, and there Madhvacharya was sitting and lecturing, and he disappeared. This is a place. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you for that. So his 37 works are compiled into one book, Sarvamoola Granth. So we go to Udupi, if you go on net, just type Sarvamoola Granth, and that book, Sarvamoola Granth, will be there. And there his all 37 works are there. So this is the third category of his books. And the fourth category is his songs. He wrote many songs like Dwadash Stotra, and he wrote other songs. Basically, his Dwadash Stotra is very famous. In Udupi, if you go every day, they sing these Dwadash Stotras. Every day, every kid, even a dog of Udupi knows Dwadash Stotra. You can go on net and you can listen to this Dwadash Stotra. That will be very nice songs, very nice. Ananda Tirtha Var Ananda Varda. This is a very famous song, very nice tune. And they sing in the night when they make Krishna sleep, they are singing this song. In the afternoon, they sing Dwadash Stotras. In the morning, Dwadash Stotras are, so if you go after Mangal Aarti at that time, they play Dwadash Stotra there, or Madhvacharya. So this is all about Madhvacharya, and very brief. There are many things I could have told. He did many miracles. So if you go to his birthplace, Pajaka Kshetra, you will find a tree which is upside down. The roots are up, the branches are down. So you might say, what's this? So Madhvacharya, he took the tree, uprooted it, put it upside down to convince his parents that he's no ordinary child. And so if you go to Pajaka Kshetra, there's a big rock which he put on the stove. His mother asked Madhvacharya when he was a child to look after the milk. So milk was boiling. So he thought what to do. He took a big rock, which is size of the room, and he put it on the stove. So stove was just buried in the ground. Mother said, where's the stove? It's beneath the rock because my it was boiling. And like that, he did so many miracles. But miracles are not that important, by the way. What important is his teachings and his dedication to Krishna. And he said, he actually defined devotion in a very different way. I mean to say, he defined devotion in many ways. What we understand, service to God, that is devotion. But he said devotion is Hari Kare Sadhaka. He said ultimately devotion means to fulfill the mission and the desires of God. That is devotion. So either you can say to serve Krishna, or you can say to actually to fulfill the desires of Krishna, or to fulfill his mission. That is one of the same thing. But the sense in which we say the devotion is Hari Kare Sadhaka. That means who completes the work of Hari. That is a very nice meaning and a very different way to look at the same, the meaning of devotion. Very nice. So Hari Kare Sadhaka, he said, we should try, what is devotion? We should try to fulfill the mission of Lord. Try to fulfill his desires in this material world. Krishna wants to do something in this material world. He wants to achieve something. Just participate in that and do that. So that is what he defined devotion. His works are very nice. If you get a chance, you can read his works. Very devotional, very nice, very concise and precise to the point. He doesn't like to beat around the bush. That is about Madhvacharya. I think I can speak much more, but that's fine. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Madhvacharya ki jai. Any questions? Otherwise, I'm done.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you for such a wonderful class, Prabhuji. Thank you for knowing a lot about Madhvacharya. Thank you so much. Devotees, anyone have any questions for Prabhuji? Please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvir Pranams. Can you please explain a little bit about the Paryaya system they have?
Paryaya system is nothing. I mean to say, he established eight mathas for management. So every matha had a chance to manage every 2 months, initially what he established. So the 2 months which they have this job of managing, those 2 months is called as Paryaya. So that tenure of 2 months is called as Paryaya. But then later, when I think Vyasa Tirth or Vadi Raj, they came, they changed the system and they said, well, 2 months is a little less, so let us increase this period to 2 years. So now the present system is 2 years. Every 2 years, every mutt gets a chance to manage. And that tenure of 2 years is called as Paryaya. So if you go to Udupi, you can ask people which Paryaya is, so which mutt is having Paryaya now. So they will say, okay, Puthi ke mat, Pejavar mat, Admar mat, this mat is Paryaya. So then what you have to understand is, that means that Udupi, that Pejavar mat is handling the management presently of Udupi Krishna. If they say Paryaya is Pejavar mat, they say Paryaya is Puthi ke mat, so one of the Asht mat, eight matas, and that means presently the management is under Puthi ke mat. So that's the meaning of Paryaya system.
Thanks, Prabhu.
Okay. So I think
it was not much of a...
Hare Krishna.
A very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. There are so many things you want to say, but you stopped. you said you have met with... acharyas and like present day who are in the temple, and they respect these devotees so much, and you talk to them. So can you speak about that, Prabhuji, a little bit?
Yeah, actually every mutt has two main sannyasis who are like senior Swamiji and junior Swamiji. They have that system. So senior Swamiji, they actually overlook the mutt, but actually management they give to junior Swami, because junior Swami is generally old. So every math has senior Swami and junior Swami, and what the system is, it is expected that the junior Swami will take over the math after senior Swami, and then that's how it will go. So as far as finance is concerned of this math, that is done by congregation. That is not handled by Swamiji's, because Madhvacharya, he said, money is illusion. And so they had a very good system. So they are handling, so these sannyasis, they're handling management basically of math, but the finance is in the hands of one of the congregation, Brahmana, because of course this math is handled by Brahmanas. They're very strict in this sense. So that they handled. And it was like almost like a GVC, which Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, he took this system of management from Madhva Sampradaya. So that's why Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, when he left, he was leaving the world, he said to his disciples, you should form a GVC. You should form like 8-9 devotees, main devotees come together, and then you should regularly, like Paryaya, you should change positions and go in management. He wanted something like that, but it didn't happen like that. Gaudiya Math collapsed, but then Prabhupada took the same idea and he formed the GBC. So the concept of GBCs is based on Madhva Sampradaya. You see the point there. So people who say that we don't belong to Madhva Sampradaya, this philosophical difference, they are foolish, because even in management we follow Madhva Sampradaya. What do we talk about philosophy? And in philosophy, I told the basic that 10 principles which Madhvacharya gave for Dvaita Sampradaya. On those 10 principles, Dasha Pramiti, we have Dasha Mool Tattva. Exactly, we have the same 10 principles at the base of Achintya Veda philosophy. So anybody who says we don't belong to Madhva Sampradaya, he can say, well, philosophy, we are Madhva Sampradaya, Dasha Mool Tattva, Dasha Pramiti, and management, we are Madhva Sampradaya, GVC. You see the point. So these junior Swamijis, I interacted with them, so many junior Swamijis, senior Swamijis. They're very scholarly people. Very scholarly, and they know Vedas and Sanskrit in and out. But they're very strict also, because they generally teach to Brahmanas. And that's the system there in Sri Sampradaya also. And as far as Pijavar Math Swami, Puthige Math Swami, they were very open, this Pijavar Math, Puthige Math Swami, they were very influenced by Prabhupada. They appreciated Prabhupada. And in one of the conferences I was there when I was in Udupi, they said what Madhva Sampradaya could not do in 800 years, Prabhupada did in 11 years. They recognized that Prabhupada preached all over the world. So they appreciate, many sannyasis, present sannyasis, they appreciate Prabhupada a lot as far as preaching it in the entire world is concerned. But as far as philosophy, they might have some differences with us. But many of these junior Swamijis, they at present time, they appreciate ISKCON, and they appreciate the understanding of ISKCON. And like that, many of them. So one of my friend, he's Madhva Sampradaya Sannyasi now, Vishveshwar Tirtha. He was my friend and in ISKCON, but then he went to Madhva Sampradaya. Many of the Madhva Sampradaya people, when they preach, they read Prabhupada books, because that's very simple to understand and explain. If you read Madhva Sampradaya's books, you will not understand any damn thing. Even Jay Tirtha, he had to write a commentary on Madhva's books, because nobody can understand what he's writing, because he writes in such concise manner. So you have to unpack those statements, and no ordinary person can do. So Jay Tirtha, one of the disciples, Jay Tirtha, in Madhva Sampradaya, is called as Tikacharya. He wrote Tikas on Madhva's books. So when Madhvacharya was there, Madhvacharya used to carry his books when he used to go for preaching. Madhvacharya used to carry his books on a bull cart. What is bull cart? So bullock cart. So he used to carry his books. So his library, because there was no internet and all these things. So that bull, he became Jayatirtha in his next life. He heard all the commentaries of Madhvacharya, and Madhvacharya told his disciples, of all you, my disciples, my commentaries are understood by this bull much more than you all. And he became Jayatirtha in next life. So he wrote commentaries on commentary of Madhvacharya, and he explained that. And he wrote book Nyaya Sudha. And even we can't understand the commentaries of Jayatirtha. His commentaries are so complex. So to preach Madhva philosophy directly to the public, it's very difficult. Even Madhva Sampradaya themselves, they can't comprehend everything. So that's why most of them read Prabhupada books and they preach according to Prabhupada. Even Sri Sampradaya, Chinnajiyar, he is one of the main proponents of Sri Sampradaya, present Acharya, one of the branches of Sri Sampradaya. Even he reads Prabhupada books and he preaches according to Prabhupada books. So that's all I can tell about those sannyasis. And I mean, just have personal interaction with them a lot. And they're so scholarly that one of the Swamiji, he was giving class on Vishnu Sahasranam and I was attending daily. Of course, he was speaking Kannada. I understand little Kannada, like kunchum, I understand. Because I had to speak to patients in Kannada, so Nimma Hesarenu, Novunta, something like that. Mandu, Edu, Muru, Nalku, something. I was understanding, but then I asked my friend to translate. So we were hearing. So then he was speaking for 3 months on one name, Vishnu Sahasranam. Regularly, I used to go daily, I used to hear 3 months. He was like, blast. That's how scholarly they are and very devotional, very austere people, very austere. The whole day, they are doing japa for at least 9 hours. 3 hours in morning, 3 hours in afternoon, 3 hours in night, evening, 3 hours in night. I don't know. It's very, very austere life, sannyasis. And they have to eat just once and they have to do some whatever they are doing. And very, 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 very expert in cleanliness. Very expert in, because, and so if you go in Udupi, in Madhva Sampradaya, so you will find two names, two terms, very common. Muddy, they say muddy. So muddy means like in Iskon, we say muchi, everything is contaminated. So there's a muddy. So everywhere as you walk, and they'll just say muddy, they have contaminated this, contaminated, take a bath, don't this and that and that and that. This and so muddy and suchi means cleanliness. They'll always speak like this because they're more, their whole system is based on Vedic, their whole worship system of deity is based on Vedic system. Our worship system in ISKCON Gaudiya Sampradaya, it's based on Pancharatra system. There's a difference. So Pancharatra system of worship is little, not so strict, but Vedic system of worship of deities is very, very strict as far as suchi and muddy is concerned. Very strict, and everybody cannot do that. So they have this, and if you see Madhva Sannyasi, they're very effulgent because they're very austere. They don't talk to females, no chance. They don't see females, no chance. Of course, I mean to say, some Swamijis are like off the track, and that I also know, but I'll not mention here. But in general, they are very effulgent, very scholarly, very, very nice people, very nice people, very humble. Very humble, yeah. One of the Swamiji's, Pajaparamatswami, he was saying that, so when we met him, so he was saying, I am aspriṣya, that nobody should touch me. that's how, it's not that we only understand what's humility. they are people, you know, they're very elevated people there. So, yeah, that's what I can tell about them. I can tell so many things, but let's leave it here.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, do you have some more time? There are a few more hands.
Yeah, just some time, little bit, 2 minutes. Yeah, you can ask otherwise.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Babu Gopal Prabhuji, please go ahead with your question, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Shravananda Prabhuji, Krishna Chaitra Das, your servant. How are you, Prabhu?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Prabhu, can you explain the significance of we see that in the picture of Madhavacharya all the time. He's raising two fingers. Can you
explain? Two fingers. Yeah. You're right. That's a good question. I just forgot to tell that. So can you show that picture, Mataji? So Madhavacharya is always raising two fingers there. You can see in the picture, you will see his picture with two fingers like this. He's doing that. So now, the first thing is, you will never see his picture like this. Oh, sorry, like this. That's useless. Vaishnavas don't do like this. Either Prabhupada like this or two fingers. He's raising two fingers. Why? Because he believes in Dvaita. So this means Dvaita. This small finger is Jivatma. big finger is Paramatma. So this is Anu, this is less, this is big. And this finger is dependent on this finger. That's Dvaita. So Dvaita means there's a distinction between Jivatma and Paramatma always and eternally. They're never same in quality and quantity as far as Dvaita is concerned. And one is dependent on other. So that's why he did two fingers. So you see the point, Madhvas is such a, he's Anuman Tirtha. Even in his posture, he promotes his philosophy of Dvaita. Just by two fingers, he explains everything. Everything, all Dvaita philosophy can be, okay, like this. If anybody understands these two fingers, he understands Dvaita. That's all. This is two fingers. This two fingers are not, I mean to say, people say two fingers means there's a distinction between Jivatma and Paramatma. That's okay. But Madhvacharya says, no. I don't want to tell this. Because this is common sense. Jivatma Paramatma is different. This is common sense. If anybody says Jivatma Paramatma is one, he even misses his common sense. So if you ask those Swamijis, they say, no, this is not the main thing. What he wants to say by these two fingers is that one is dependent on other. One is small, one is big. This is dependent on this for its existence. That is the more appropriate meaning what Madhvacharya used to wanted to tell by these two fingers. That's the meaning.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Prabhuji, is it okay to take one more question?
Okay, yeah, just last question and then I'll just have another class.
Gaurangi Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Shankarabhu. Yeah, this is just repetition. I missed when you were breaking down Madhvacharya's name. Mud means sweet and then?
Yeah, Madhu means sweet and Va means strength.
But then
So one of the meaning is sweet is devotion. So he gives strength to devotion. One of the meaning. Another meaning is Madhu means sweet and then there's no Va, there's A. Madhu plus A. And then it becomes Madhva by Sandhi. So Madhu means sweet, A means he's completely sweet. So that means he actually extracted the complete sweetness of Vedas in his works. So one of the meaning is Madhu plus A, another is Madhu plus Va, like that.
Uh-huh. And Va means, you said, strength, right?
Yeah, strength, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a very enlightening class today. And we are very grateful to you. We look forward for your association again.
Yeah, thank you for allowing me to speak on Madhvacharya. I'm like so happy today. In fact, if any acharyas past the days are there, just tell me. You know? I don't want to much speak on Bhagavatam. I prefer to speak on acharyas. I like that, to glorify them. Anyway.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. I'm so sorry about the. And there are a few more questions on chat. I'm so sorry. I think in further
class. Yeah, I have a class. Yeah. So anyway.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kupa Sudhu Kripa Patita Nam Pavani Vaishnavi Vaishnavi Bhagavatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Jai. Glories of Madhvacharya, Madhvacharya Ki Jai, His Grace, Keshavanand Prabhuji Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you.